V-minus 44. McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. All day, Clark's mind had been fixated on what Dan and Emma were doing in Buenos Aires. He feared nothing more than Dan foolishly telling Godfrey and Slater about his new abilities and the fact that Emma would never go along with such a move, particularly when it came to Godfrey, was the only thing that eased his mind. Work at the precinct occupied his hands, at least, and by the time night came, he returned home relatively relaxed. Dan had called a few times by then, drip-feeding news as it came in. The trend tracker above the couch, where Clark was now reclined, had beeped shortly after each of Dan's calls when the news became public, but no one had been home at the time to hear it. At work, which had been relatively normal in recent months while Dan maintained the lowest public profile he could, Clark had once again spent the day as the center of everyone's attention. He didn't know what to say when they asked how he felt about Dan flying to Cuba to interview John Cole and to Honduras to interview Poppy Bradshaw, because he didn't know how he felt. He understood and supported the reasoning, since Dan's ability to discern their private thoughts would imminently blow apart the whole triangle mystery one way or the other, but a huge part of him felt that there was too much inherent risk for this to be the right course of action. In Clark's mind, there was never really going to be a political escalation of the kind that would lead to a military conflict between China and the United States. There just couldn't be. His own instinct would have been to wait and see what happened next, but Dan's evident concerns about the messengers and their elders was something that couldn't be ignored. Dan knew them better than anyone, and he had reported seeing genuine concern in their eyes, as well as sensing a real frustration in their thoughts over the fact that they couldn't tell him everything. Clark could also very well understand Dan's desire to do something, especially after how helpless he had been temporarily rendered in the wake of Il Diavolo's discovery the previous year. If Dan hadn't taken massive and highly risky action on that occasion, Clark knew very well that neither of them would still be around to ponder the merits of such action this time. Dan and Emma were now ready to head to Cuba with a news crew, which included Kyle Young from ACN, a man who wasn't just a McCarthy ally, but one who Clark knew personally and respected a great deal for the risks he had taken on their behalf in the past. This very welcome news further eased Clark's mind and made the fact that Emma and Dan were set to land in Havana the following morning much easier to handle. The only person he would have chosen over Kyle was Trey Myers, a once local newsman and close friend who had moved out of state for a work opportunity a few months earlier. As a family man, Clark doubted Trey would have been up for such a risky-sounding trip in any case. In Clark's experienced mind, however, the chances of a security incident were minuscule. The Cubans knew what they were doing on that front, and Dan's telepathic advantage over Cole left Clark confident that the interview itself should go pretty damn well. After all, Dan could link up with Emma to covertly use her PR expertise and unrivaled skill to box Cole in and avoid any lexical traps he tried to lay. All in all, he didn't see much rational cause for concern. Long after midnight had come and gone, Tara called to tell Clark that she wouldn't be home and to ask if he could either stay next door with Rooster or let him stay at the McCarthy's for the night. Clark was glad to get the call, which settled his mild concern as to why she was already so much later than the time she'd expected to be home from the promotional appearance she was making at a new nightclub in Colorado Springs. In a selfless sense, he was also fairly pleased to hear the reason she wouldn't be home. Something had sparked between her and Jason Moore, a former TV star who was now on the right side of the same kind of fame-related substance abuse problems Clark had been worrying that Tara was slipping into. Jason had been doing the media rounds lately to promote a warts and all autobiography, and he spent most of his days speaking in schools about self-esteem and drug-related topics. There was, admittedly, more than a slight pang of regret inside Clark when he heard Tara was staying with Jason, which momentarily made him consider something he'd been trying to ignore for a long time, but he firmly believed Jason would be good for her. And given how much he cared about her, as well as how clearly her troubles had been weighing on Emma, that consideration drowned out the other in his mind. Clark opted to collect Rooster and to sleep in his own bed while the dog rested in the living room. He was never any trouble, so the still-awake Henry didn't mind either. All said, it was a pleasant night in Birchwood, Colorado. As Clark McCarthy's head hit the pillow, he tried not to think too much about the day that would follow.